Elizabeth Crutchfield. I'm a postdoc at UC Riverside. And can you hear me now? Okay. I'm a postdoc at UC Riverside, and I was looking into doing this project on the effect of biochar on water use efficiency in California. So California has had a drought-prone area. We just finished what was officially 7 years of drought. This obviously is not a great picture of what drought looks like. This was taken probably this past March, and right after our drought broke. But this is a diagram from the U.S. Drought Monitor that shows how bad the drought was over time in California. And you can see that from 2012 on to 2017, we had a very significant drought, a historic drought, like the worst in over 1,000 years. But California is a drought-prone area, and we will have this sort of problem come up again and again and again. And anything that can be done to sort of mitigate the effect of the drought is worth looking into. This is what, like, one sliver of what this graph is. But you can see here that in March 2016, the drought was very significant. This should have been pretty much the wettest that the year, wettest that California would get during the year. We have a Mediterranean climate. All the rain happens in the winter, and there's pretty much no rain during the summer. And during 2016, the state was only able to deliver about 5% of the water that was promised to farmers. And if you had driven through the Central Valley of California in this time, you would have seen acres of land where orchards were just being torn up because people couldn't afford to water them. And that meant that growers went out of business, and there was less jobs for farm workers. So we were looking into this substance called biochar. Biochar is a bit like charcoal. Basically, you take biomass, and it can be any kind of biomass, something carbon-based. People usually say that wood-based biochar is the best sort, but you could make it out of animal waste. And then you pyrolyze it, meaning you burn it in the absence of oxygen. And what that does is it produces a liquid fraction, a solid fraction, and a gas fraction. Depending on your pyrolyzer, you can use that gas fraction to power the pyrolysis process, and you can extract the oils in order to use it as biodiesel. But what we're interested in is the biochar, the solid fraction. Again, it's basically like a kind of charcoal, and it's because of the pyrolysis process, the carbon becomes very sort of consolidated into to carbon rings, which is very resistant to degradation. And because it's so resistant to degradation, it's effective when you apply it to the soil. It effectively becomes a method of carbon sequestration. So you can see in this graph, you lose a fair amount of carbon during the pyrolysis process, but what's left over is mostly very recalcitrant and will stay in the soil for long periods of time. Best estimates nowadays is something like hundreds of years. So it's a form of carbon sequestration, as opposed to if you just applied that non-charred organic matter to the soil, you can see in this graph, over time most of that would, over a couple of years, most of that would decrease and be gone from the soil and released into the atmosphere. So biochar, when it's pyrolyzed, becomes full of lots of little pores, and those pores can hold water, sort of like a sponge. And so there's been some research that's shown that biochar can hold water when mixed in soil. So this is a graph from a collaborator, a colleague's research, and it's using a product called Turf Rescue, which is 70% compost and 30% biochar. And this blue line down here at the bottom has no biochar in, or no turf rescue in it, but the red one at the top has 10% by weight of turf rescue, and you can see it's holding more water, and also that drop-off is slower. To show you a more graphical picture, this C here on the far left is the control, And if you look at the fourth one down, that's 10 tons of per acre of biochar. And you can see it's slightly greener than the control. The one to its right is 2 tons per acre of green waste. And it's not doing very well, but two more down from that. I don't know if there's not. This guy over here has biochar mixed in as well as the compost, and you can see it's doing significantly better. So anyway, so we have some research that suggests that biochar is helping hold water in soils, and we wanted to try this out in a farm setting. So we collaborated with some research in the Salinas Valley, where Dr. Khan is from. This is an area called King City, which is like 2.5 hours south of San Francisco. This is a loamy sand, a sandy loam type soil. It's a bit like walking on the beach when there is no plants on it. And we had four treatments. The blue is the control. The yellow is biochar at 10 tons per acre. The orange is compost at 15 tons per acre. And the pink is compost, 15 tons, biochar, 10 tons. And that color scheme is maintained in the rest of the PowerPoint, so hopefully be clear. And you can see we have four replicates of the plots. What we've done is we've added some watermark sensors to the plots at 18 inches and 30 inches. And they're in a row sort of down on that end of the plot. Now this is, the plants were transplanted in April 2017. This would have been early 2018 when the plants were only about a year old. This is fall 2018. You can see the lovely fall color here. And they're still not very old, but there were some grapes growing on those vines. So what we did to measure growth, because we can't just do any destructive harvest of these plants, was we did caliper measurements of the trunk. And what you can see in this graph, again, blue is the control, biochar is yellow, compost is orange, and the compost biochar combo plots are pink. What we found from this analysis was that the compost treatments did significantly better than the non-compost treatments, which makes sense. Biochar itself is not a fertilizer. The way compost can add more nutrients, biochar tends not to. Depends on the type of biochar you use. Those compost plants were getting sort of a bonus growth in the beginning from the extra nutrients. This is NDVI analysis of the plots from only about a month ago. The color scheme is maintained, except in this case, because there's a lot of orange in the image, the compost treatment is gray. But you can see the four different blocks. And although I don't have any numbers to go with this image, unfortunately, you can kind of see visually that the control plots are the weakest, have the lowest NDVI, the most orange or red color of any of the plots within the block. And within blocks, the best looking blocks are almost always the pink ones, the compost biochar. So we're seeing more vigorous growth out of the plots that got both the compost and the biochar. This is a cluster count that was taken at about the same time that this image was taken. A cluster count is exactly what it sounds like. Someone goes to the vines and counts how many inflorescences or future grape clusters are on the plants. Like each plant individually, and that is the number of clusters per plant. And it is a good indicator of future yield. Obviously, we can't know what yield it's going to have until the fall. But this is sort of an early way of measuring that. And what we found was that the biochar is actually doing better than the other plots. The compost wasn't doing significantly better than the control, which is sort of unusual because, again, it was taken at almost the exact same time as this image, so we would expect that the compost biochar, which has the most green, it would result in the most fruit. And when we compare this to the watermark, whoops, wrong way, watermark data. So this is soil water potential as measured by the watermarks. Again, the same color scheme applies. This is the 18-inch depth. And this is in centibars. And down here means it's wetter in the soil, and up there means it's drier in the soil. And this was averaged by week because I had a lot of data, and it would just be very complicated if it were every day worth of data points. So what we can see here is that the orange treatment, which is the compost, and the pink treatment, which is both biochar and compost treatment, dried out the most during the summer. So this is like February 2018. Here's about July 2018. This peak is around October and November, and then you can see down at the end is 2019. We've had a pretty wet year this past year, so there isn't a lot of peaks. But in the heat of last summer, the treatments that dried out the fastest were the compost and the two compost treatments, which is reflective of that additional growth that we're seeing, the more vigorous growth that we've seen in the other plots. And down at the 30 inches, we can see again that the pink and the orange are growing, or are drier, and they're because they're growing better. You can see that the pink sort of dries out and then doesn't really recover, and that's a reflection of the fact that this is the drip irrigation, and the plants are absorbing enough of the water up at the surface that it's not percolating down to the lower levels where it might be picked up by the sensor. So some of these areas dried out, and then it never re-wetted until there was a proper rain event. So what we're seeing is that the compost treatments are more vigorous and doing better in terms of growth, and that's reflected in the soil moisture. However, the biochar treatment, for whatever reason, was growing more grapes or had more clusters. That may not result in a by weight greater yield because it has to do with how much water is uptake and by those clusters. But also the biochar and the control plots have very similar moisture levels. So it's possible that although, because in pretty much every measurement of growth we have, the biochar is doing slightly better than the control. It might be that the biochar is growing more, but the biochar plants are growing more, but the biochar is maintaining some of the moisture in the soil. And this was funded by the Department of Water Resources in California. And thank you to my lab members who are over there. And are there any questions? We have time for a little. Yes? Oh, thank you. We got this. Sorry, the source of the biochar was a company called Pacific Biochar, run by a man named Josiah Hunt. So if you look up that on Google, you should probably find them. I'm sure they'd be happy to have any interest. But they donated the biochar. Oh, actually,
This was just a one-year study.
So the study was started in 2017, and it was funded by the DWR, and it just finished right now. But the biochar is still in the field, and there's no reason why we can't keep collecting data from that field over the next couple of years, and maybe we'll have more to say on it after this fall when we get some yield data out of it. That's true. biochar is a long-lived product. It stays in the soil for a long time, and people have seen additional benefits as the years go on. So a longer-term study is always better for a product like this, but it's difficult to get funding for that sort of thing. Yes. The vineyard manager that we're working with is a good scientist, and he's going to keep, even if no one else is, he's going to keep track of it. Do I have time for another question?
Yeah, another one, and then there's another meeting coming at 2:30, so we can spend like 2 or 3 minutes for general questions.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
The good thing about the voucher is that you're knocking down the carbon and thereby reducing the greenhouse gas emission.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about water use efficiency of plants, I would be more interested if it is possible for you to consider the potassium availability.
The what?
Because the study that we, one of the studies that we carried out in my institution in Nigeria, we discovered that the potassium content of the soil, the changeable carrier in potassium, was enhanced. And when you are talking about the water economy of plants,
mm-hmm.
potassium has a major role to play. It controls the osmoregulation and the movement of soil matter.
That's
so
true.
It will be a possibility and additional information that you can gather with time. Yeah. And also the residual effect, you know, after 2-3 years, as mentioned, should also be taken into consideration.
Yeah. So the point that you were trying to make is that potassium also plays a big role and that
yeah.
we should start investigating that as well. Yes, I agree. There are soil samples that were collected, but I haven't gotten the results back yet.